Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sun has been pouring into this cathedral all day, from the west end at quite a low level, just perhaps causing you to scrunch your eyes slightly. And certainly if you go into the Lady Chapel first thing in the morning at this time of year and on a day like this, you really need your dark glasses on. Because as the steps take you up into the chapel, just for a moment, your sight of your line of vision is up at the windows, perched high at the top, and the sun pours in and is quite dazzling. And of course, your gaze can't be held up there, such is the intense brightness. And so you need to look back down to what seems so mundane, and yet back down to a place where there are bright, sparkly things too, manifestations of God's glory. In the Lady Chapel, there's the altar, the table of the Lord. There's the Blessed Sacrament, the presence of the Lord of glory in bread and wine. And there are God's people gathered to worship. So looking down isn't that mundane either. Ascension Day gives us a scene of people gazing up into the sky, looking to the glory, the exaltation, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. They know and they're told that they cannot stand gazing up there forever. They will have to look down again and out and about. And like them, we are looking for something that is coming, looking out for the coming Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Fill the hearts of your people and kindle in us the fire of your love. And in these days before Pentecost, heralded by the Ascension, 9 days, hence the term Novena, we are asked to pray in Jesus' words, "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom that the Spirit shapes and leads us into. And we might ask, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? This is what we are looking out for in these coming days, and indeed all our lives. The coming kingdom of the Father, made known to us by Jesus Christ, into which the gift of the Holy Spirit will lead us. You can trace a wonderful movement with your head, and you might want to try this as I speak. Don't worry, it won't be too cringy. But think about looking up, then looking down, looking left, and looking right. In doing so, you're tracing the shape and sign of the cross. You are shaping yourself and practicing the directions in which Christian disciples are called to look. We look up, a motion expressive of our seeking out the Lord who ascended from this earth, who reigns supreme over all things. Don't we just know how wonderful it is to look up from looking at the ceiling of this cathedral, when, of course, next year we'll be looking up at a beautiful, glittering, clean, plaster-free ceiling. But we know the feeling of looking up at the stars, looking up, seeing if we can spot Colonel Tim Peake and his space station racing through the heavens, looking up at rockets or planes jetting into space, or even just a gentle helium-filled balloon or a dandelion seed floating up into the sky. We have a deep human yearning to gaze upwards and outwards. We want, we need to gaze so far beyond ourselves, because in doing so we sense that we can reach out and almost touch the face of God up there. But the ascension of Jesus Christ tells us that we cannot keep our heads tilted up forever. Only spiritual cramp of the neck comes from that. The ascension of Jesus Christ tells us that we must look back down too. As the disciples were asked rhetorically, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven?" And as we look back down, we're not looking down on the world in a superior or supercilious sense, but just for a moment, we consider a heaven's eye view of the world, just looking down as God might look down lovingly upon us. We look with heaven's eye at a world we are called to inhabit and to love just as God does. As the creation account reminds us, "And God saw that it was good." That prayer of Jesus to the Father, "Thy kingdom come," captures this vertical gaze as we look down on earth and up in heaven. But our gaze as Christian disciples is not just vertical, it's horizontal too. As the Spirit swept over the waters in the beginning of creation, so our gaze goes left and right, looking around us. We look with the eyes of Jesus Christ at a world where we see joy and lament, violence and healing, curse and blessing. We're called to walk as if on patrol, looking for the signs of the kingdom around us. "Thy kingdom come," looking left, looking right. As St. Paul puts it, and I'm going to use the Authorized Version of the Bible unashamedly here, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, not as fools but as wise, because the days are evil." Walk circumspectly. Circumspection literally means looking all around, a 360 view, you might say. We look up, we look down, we look left, we look right. And time is redeemed and changed as we look for the coming of the kingdom. A kingdom already here, already amongst us, yet a kingdom to come. A kingdom of which we are already, by our baptism, citizens. As we pray with Jesus, "Thy kingdom come," we also pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, make us citizens of the kingdom. Reveal to us the ways of the kingdom. Strengthen us to live the kingdom." We look around for a kingdom not of this world, but certainly in this world. This means being fully engaged in society and politics, doing things like voting, even if we can't quite see the point of it sometimes. Churches and Christians that only ever look up will miss what God is doing down on the earth. Churches and Christians that only ever look down will be bogged down in things of the earth and never notice the power from on high. Churches and Christians who only ever look side to side will miss that vertical dimension of faith that's more than just about a kingdom being restored to Israel, more than social and political project. The kingdom of God is much richer than that. So we look around in all directions, in that cross shape, up and down and left and right. And all this is drawn together in the coming kingdom. And it's reflected in a prayer that will be used this evening as we gather bread and wine at the altar of the Eucharist, drawing from a prayer of the second century of the Christian era. As the grain once scattered in the fields and the grapes once dispersed on the hillside are now reunited on this table in bread and wine, so, Lord, may your whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. We're ready to be gathered in, but we're also ready to be sent out from here in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we go out, having been fed at this table, may we be at the same time both lookouts for and signs of the kingdom, looking up to heaven, looking down to earth with a heaven's eye view, looking left, looking right, and see a world where the exalted Christ is all in all. In other words, Lord, thy kingdom come. We wait in eager longing. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.